Jesus is here. Heavenly Father, we believe you're here, Lord, because you promised to be here. Where two or three were gathered together in your name, that there you'd be in the midst of them. And we know you keep your promises, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Calvary. We thank you for the gift of eternal life. Lord, may it never be common to us. May we always appreciate what you've done. May we always look to that cross and see that you took our place. That you saved us from death and hell and the grave. Lord, we thank you today. Come, Lord, visit us today. Move me aside, Father. Have your way. We commit all things to your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated for a moment. I have a few announcements before we get into the scriptures today. God bless you. It's good to be back here. And we had a good visit to Australia. And I felt like the Lord was in the trip.
Amen.
There was a lot of things that happened. It was a great blessing. And it's a law I've proved over and over again. You can't outgive God.
Amen.
And so whenever I've gone somewhere and I'm praying and I'm trying to help somebody, I always get more than I give.
Amen.
That's how I feel. I always get more of a blessing from those people that I'm trying to bless. And I think that's a law with God.
Amen.
He doesn't permit you to outgive him. That's just his law. And so you can talk to the brothers that went with us, Brother Jamie and Brother Angel, Brother Pete, and I think we had a good time. We had a good time together.
Amen.
You know, I think we should get together more often amongst ourselves. And so the Lord put something in my heart. I really want to try and get together here a little more often than we do. We're kind of scattered a little bit, and I think we can actually help one another and strengthen one another if we get together. So today also, there's some names on the board in the back that need to see Amber about the trip. She was contacting people. We need to get our final number today. I have to put some lists in, even though we have a few weeks for the trip. And so let me just read. Is Brother Stanley here today? No, we'll have to contact him. Brother Juan, if you could see Amber after church. Sister Selena, Israel and Eli, Albert and Nia, and Mark and Jenny, and Pedro and Adelaide. I saw Adelaide there. I think she's contacted others. So anyway, we need to get together. Now, I realize not everybody can go, and I'm sorry about that. And I know there's some people that want to go and just can't go, and some people, the trip is going to be a little too strenuous for people that can't get around real well. And so I'm sorry about that, but I wish everybody. There's going to be a day when we're all together.
Amen.
And we won't be limited by time, and we won't be limited by resource. We won't be limited by our physical abilities or not our abilities, but we'll be immortal together. And so I'm looking forward to that day. And so praise the Lord. I don't think I had any other announcements today. Let's all stand. I have an unusual thought on my heart today, and you just pray for us that God will have his way.
Amen.
Something I couldn't get off my mind. Let's turn to Luke chapter 16. It's a very familiar scripture. Luke 16. And I'm going to start with verse 19. Well, let's bow our heads to the Lord again. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach this, the Bible, we believe it's your word, O God. It's the greatest thing you could have given to us was your word. It's for our protection, for our salvation, for instruction. But Lord, the letter killeth. It's the spirit that giveth life. And it takes your spirit to come. Even though we can read from this book, it takes your Spirit to come and to break it open to us, and for you to manifest this word to us and quicken it to our hearts. Lord, I ask for your faith to be upon the people today. Not our human faith by measure, Lord, but your faith that we could believe what your word says. And I believe, Lord, in my heart, if we believe this word, it would change our life.
Amen.
It would change our actions. It would change the way we live in this world. So, Lord, we ask you to come. And I ask you to touch me and each and every one here, Lord, today. Have your way, Father, in this such a serious time and such a serious topic that we're going to take today, Lord. I feel unworthy and, Lord, unable. But, Lord, I know that you're more than able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Help us, Lord, to approach with the right attitude. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead.
Amen.
You may be seated. God bless you. I want to speak on a subject that I just could not get out of my mind, and it came from a conversation we had when we were in Australia. And usually that's, for me, that's how the Lord deals with me. Something comes to my mind, and I pray about it, and look at the scriptures. And so I want to speak on tormented by regret. Tormented by regret. And of course, we know in hell that there'll be many more torments and flames and suffering and sorrow, but also by regret. And when I was looking at the word regret, and now I realize this is a heavy subject today, so I just pray that God will help you.
Amen.
And search your heart. What do you really believe? What do you really believe? Do you believe there's a heaven? Do you believe there's a hell? Because if we're Bible believers, we have to believe there's a hell. We have to believe there's a heaven. There is a God and there's a devil. There are angels and there are demons.
Amen.
And sometimes, because it's too painful to think about, we put it out of our mind. And I think that the Lord is just asking us today to look at it once again. So regret, to feel sorrow or remorse for an act, a fault, a disappointment. So think about regret, that concept. He no sooner spoke than he regretted it. So sometimes you speak something you shouldn't say, and then you feel pain because you regret. You're sorry that you said that. Amen. That's the feeling of regret. To think of with a sense of loss. So to regret one's vanished youth, to look back with distress or sorrowful longing, to grieve for on remembering. So you remember, but you regret. The pain or distress in the mind at something done or left undone. You know, so looking back and remembering something that you did. Sometimes I remember driving down the street, and I've told you this before, and I'm alone in the car, but somehow we're never alone. And I'm alone in the car, I'm driving down the road, and to my mind, it came an interaction that I had with one of my children, or when I was really harsh on them, and I had regret. I felt sorry. I said, oh, I don't want to be like that with my children. And I thought about it, and it seemed like a voice spoke to me. I don't treat you that way. You know, and then I had more pain, more sorrow, thinking, my Heavenly Father, you know, when He gives me correction, there's love in it somehow. And it's not just harshness. It's not just a bitterness. He never corrects just out of emotional anger, but He's always trying to teach us something. And we should be that way. We should be always have love as our motive, and correction should never, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You're not going doing God a favor by lashing out against somebody in anger. See, that's really just the flesh working out. So God help us.
Amen.
And so I remember having regret thinking about that. I said, I don't want to treat my children that way. You know, and I made many mistakes, and I'm guilty as anybody. But, you know, God help us to change. And if we regret something, let's ask the Lord to help us not be that way, to be different. So there's things that people regret. And I was looking this up, and I found something that, you know, people come to the end of their life in this life, even in the natural, and they regret things. And I was looking at this, and I left my glasses in my... Well, I'll just. Oh, thank the Lord. I regret that I need glasses. But anyway, one day I'm going to have perfect eyes. One day I'm going to have an immortal body. So I'm looking to that. So until then, we wear glasses. And so I was looking at something, and this just struck me, you know. And this little thing I found said, no life will ever be completely clear of regret. Failed relationships, missed opportunities, poor judgment calls. But some regrets are more fundamental and greater in scope. They tend not to focus on a single moment or area, but how life is lived. How life is lived. So I just think of this. Someone comes to the end of their life and they're having regret, and we say these things to help us to avoid these kind of things, to, if we're going down this path, that we can bring correction to it. So there's about a dozen here or so, and it says, I wish, number one, I wish I had spent more time with the people I love. I wish I had spent more time with the people I love. You know, we can get so busy in this life, and we can actually be very selfish with our time. But, you know, we got to be careful of that. That'll be a regret at the end of our life when we look back and say, well, that hobby really was not as important as my family. My job was really not as important as my family. I wish I had worried less. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Remember, worry does not have value in it. Faith has value. Worry and doubt are accompanied by fear. See, faith is accompanied by love.
Amen.
All right? Wish I had worried less. I wish I had forgiven more. What happens when we don't forgive? Bitterness. We hold bitterness in ourself when we don't forgive. And you notice people that don't forgive, they're filled with bitterness. They can't see it themselves, always blaming others because they haven't forgiven them. And here's the truth of it. When you will not forgive, you're holding yourself prisoner. You're not holding them prisoner. You're holding yourself prisoner. And Jesus said, if you don't forgive everyone, he said, then I can't forgive you. So there's no justification to not forgive. We ought to be the most forgiving people on the face of the earth. I wish I had forgiven more. I wish I had taken better care of my health. I think, you know, all of us realize it's better to be healthy, you know, especially when someone gets to the end of their life and their health is failing and they have a lot of problems. Sometimes it's hereditary, they couldn't help, but sometimes it's because of the choices we made. Amen?
Amen.
All right. I wish I had been a better parent. You know, I think if you're a parent, you naturally regret things you've done. And I wish I had been a better, wish I had treated my parents better. Sometimes that's a regret if you hadn't, right? And then I wish I had been more honest. You know, if you're not honest, you're going to pay for that. And you don't get by on anything. I wish I had worked less. And we kind of insinuated that you got to keep a balance in life. You know, we need to work. You know, we have to work to get money, but you don't live to work. And so when I've said this before, sometimes people find it easier because they're having problems at home to throw themselves into work instead of dealing with the problems at home. But what you really need to do is have a balance. You got to do your work, but then you got to face the problems at home because that's more important actually than work. I wish I had cared less about what other people think. You know, we're going to find when we get across the river, it doesn't matter what other people think. It matters what God thinks.
Amen.
And that's the only opinion that matters. Even your own opinion of yourself will not matter. His opinion of us is what matters. What His Word said about us. I wish I had lived up to my full potential. You know, in the natural, there's many people striving, ambitious, you know, but for us, children of God, you want to live up to your potential as a child of God.
Amen.
What does God want us to do in this life? I believe we have a purpose. Every one of us, not just a minister behind the pulpit, not just a musician but I'm saying every one of us has a purpose in life.
Amen.
And, you know, do we live up to our full potential? I wish I had faced my fears. And we kind of talked to that a little bit. You know, what good is it to run from everything? You know, I know people that I love that are prisoners to their own fears. They're actually, they wouldn't be in more of a prison than if they were behind bars. Fear puts you in a prison. And you got to face your fears. And sometimes you need to step outside your comfort zone, see, to grow. And what do people fear the most? Failure. They fear they don't want to fail. But failure is how you grow.
Amen.
We learn from our failures. So strong people that are strong because they faced fears, they stepped out, they took a risk, and they faced their fears, and they were able to accomplish something by the grace of God.
Amen.
And so we have God on our side. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I wish I had stopped chasing the wrong things. God help us.
Amen.
You know, when we pray, I think that is one of the greatest things you can do when you pray is say, Lord, search me, O God.
Amen.
Search my ambitions. Search my passions. Search my emotions. Search my thoughts, my imaginations. Search my heart. And anything that's not of you, take it out of me,
Amen.
O God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Is that your desire?
Amen.
If we really want to please God, I think we need to let Him inside so that we don't chase after the wrong things in life. Now, many things, you know, all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient.
Amen.
All things are lawful, but I will not be brought under the power of any. I will not be under bondage to anything that is really not edifying.
Amen.
It's really not the will of God. And the last one is, I wish I lived more in the moment. You know, some people are always living for the future. Life is now,
Amen.
By the way. Life is today. But only if I could just get past this, if I could just get that job, if I could just move there, if I could just get this or that and down the road, then real life will happen. No, life is happening right now.
Amen.
And, you know, we need to realize that we should not always wait for the future. Smell the roses along the way. Take a 5-minute vacation along the way and praise the Lord Jesus. So I was looking at those things and I thought it would be beneficial to share them with you because we're talking about regret, and there are some minor things that you can regret at the end of your life. But of course there's some major regrets that people go through. Someone who, let's just say someone who was a thief and he stole money from a bank and he gets caught and then he's in jail and he's filled with regret that he should have never done that. Someone stealing, cheating, laziness, someone who's slothful. You know, if we're slothful, we're going to regret that. At some point, you're going to regret being slothful. Adultery. You know, you think about adultery, the consequences of that and the regret that people feel, they realize that they chose fleeting pleasure over faithfulness. They have to pay the price for that. And sometimes it's a brutal price.
Amen.
It's beyond what they ever imagined they'd have to pay. You know, like Billy Paul would say in his testimony, say, sin always takes you farther than you want to go.
Amen.
And always keeps you longer than you want to stay. And always makes you pay more than you wanted to pay. So we need to be recognized that. Our sins will find us out. It says in the Bible, in Numbers 32, it says, and be sure your sin will find you out. So as a Christian, what we should do, if we see sin in our life, we should run to Calvary. Run to Calvary with everything you have and plead for God's mercy. Don't ever stay in sin because, and I don't think you can if you're really a Christian. You'll be miserable in sin. So you run to Jesus and you confess your sin. And His Word said He's faithful to forgive us of our sin.
Amen.
What a bargain that is.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
See, so when people get caught and are forced to face their sin, then they have to deal with the sorrow and the regret for what they did. And, you know, I'd rather face my sins willfully than to have someone else cause me to do it, right? But all those things and the regret that follows are nothing compared to the regret that will take hold of a soul that's waiting judgment. And that's what I want you to think about today. We understand this concept of regret. Looking back, painful. It is painful. Regret is painful. But imagine a soul that has passed from this life and they're not covered by the blood. They weren't trusting in Calvary. And now they're waiting judgment. And I believe they'll be very aware of that. See, people here, they may wish for a life without God. Well, there is a place without God. There is a place waiting judgment, and we don't want to be in that place. Once we pass from this life, and you know you've sinned, and you've rejected God's mercy, His only provided way of escape, then you're faced with overwhelming regret that you missed that opportunity. When mercy is spurned, only judgment is left.
Amen.
Only judgment. And the judgment of God's are harsh, we know. Regretting a wasted life, regretting missed opportunities to make the right choice. how we should thank God if He's come to us and He's touched us and He's saved us. But listen, we should not take any chances. Just because you come to church, that doesn't mean you made it right with God. People can come to church every day. Doesn't mean they're right with God. It doesn't mean they've accepted His provide. We need to plead for God's mercy. We need to run to Calvary. We need to believe the gospel and accept that that sacrifice that He made was the payment for our sins. That is God's provided way of escape from hell, is to believe that He took my place, our place, my place. He took my place. That sacrifice He made, God didn't just do that for nothing. He paid the price because we needed someone to save us. We were all lost. And so we need to believe and accept that His blood not only covers, but remits our sin. It takes our sin away. Praise the Lord Jesus. See, if people could only know the value of trusting in Calvary, in trusting in the cross, in trusting in Jesus. See, listen, one day everyone will know the value of that. On this side, a Christian that's born again, they understand the value somewhat. We understand the value. When we get to the other side, it'll be very clear over there. This is a life of shadows. This is a life of darkness and trials and testing and doubts and fears. And we face our fears, we press through our doubts, and we believe on the Word of God, and we trust in Jesus Christ by the grace of God. But on the other side, those that are not trusting Him, they're going to face a reality that they never even imagined. You know, 1 Timothy 5, I apologize we don't have the scriptures today, that was my fault. And some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment. And some men, they follow after. See, all sin gets exposed. Nobody gets away with anything.
Amen.
Some men's sins, 1 Timothy 5:24, are open beforehand, going before to judgment. And some men, they follow after. See, when we go to Jesus and we confess our sins, and you see, we're exposing ourselves. Our sin becomes exposed and it's dealt with.
Amen.
It's dealt with.
Right.
And the blood washes away our sins.
Amen.
And not only is it that we believe in that God, He doesn't remember our sins anymore, but literally the guilt and shame of our sin is gone from us.
Amen.
So the blood actually takes away our sins. Praise God.
Amen.
Some men's sins go beforehand. I want mine to go before. I don't know about you, but I'm always confessing to God.
Amen.
Every day, I feel like you've done something wrong. You had a wrong attitude. You said something wrong. You thought something that wasn't right. I don't want my thoughts to be wrong.
Amen.
That's a great battle in our mind.
Amen.
I don't want bitterness against anyone. I want our hearts to be pure. And the only way is to repeatedly go back to Calvary. Go back to that source, that blood. And that blood washes away all. There's a cleansing power in Jesus Christ. And those that don't have Him, they don't have that. And it's very sad. Judgment begins here. 1 Peter 4:17. I'll just read to you. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end? What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? If the righteous be, we're not righteous in ourselves, we're righteous through His righteousness by faith in what He did for us. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, not saved by a lot, but thank God we're saved. Amen. Do you realize what you're saved from? Do we even think about it anymore? God help us. Where shall the sinner and ungodly appear? We need to run to Jesus. Don't play with sin. Don't play with it. Just imagine the regret of those people will face. Just imagine being in hell for one day. Lost. Alone. Knowing you've missed your opportunity in life. Knowing you've rejected God's provided way of escape. And listen, they won't be there just for a day. They won't be there just for a week or a year. But think about being in a year in hell. 10 years. 100 years. 1,000 years. We don't know how long. They could be there for millions of years before it's all destroyed. I can't even imagine being there. I don't want to imagine being there. And I think we're all that way. It's too hard to think about. It's too hard for us to think. People we're interacting with in life who've rejected Calvary, they're going to be there. I don't want them to be there. I don't care if they're wrong. I don't care if the devil's deceived them. I don't want them there. I don't want anybody there. But there is a hell to shun, and this is where I want to challenge you today. Do you really believe there's a hell? Yes, I can understand putting it out of your mind because it's too hard to think about. But listen, we are Bible-believing Christians. The Bible is the Word of God. The Bible clearly declares there is a hell. There is a place of torment. There is a hell to shun. People think they won't have to face their sins, but they will. Nobody gets away with it. You know, when someone does something wrong in this life and it appears they got away with it, I always know nobody gets away with anything. I have this faith inside me that even when someone does wrong and it appears that they never had to face it, they will have to face it. Amen. You know, how precious is this life? I think we take this life for granted. I think, how precious is the opportunity somebody has to accept Jesus Christ? Amen. When you think about life and death and what's beyond this life and eternity and millions of years, the value of hearing the gospel, the value of hearing about a Savior, the value of hearing the truth, the value of having an opportunity to soberly accept. I accept what you did for me. I believe He was God in flesh. I believe He took that cross. I believe they nailed Him to the cross. I believe they pulled the beard from His face. I believe He suffered for me. Amen. And I accept that. Amen. I should have been there. Amen. My sins, I should have been on that cross. But He took my place. What the value of that is so far beyond what we can explain in words. But one day all will know. And think of the unrepentant sinner. I can't get this out of my mind. The unrepentant sinner who passes over there and he finds himself in hell. How devastating is that? What is in hell? The devil and his angels. Demons. Torment, sorrow, regret. The pain, it's painful to even think about it, but what about the pain of being there? and looking back at life and realizing we should pity people that are not Christians. Don't be mad at them. Don't hold it against them. They're deceived. If anybody saw the truth, they would repent. It's grace to us to have seen the truth. Who deserved it? Who earned it? If we can see the grace of God and the truth of the gospel, we ought to be the most merciful people on the face of the earth. So when we meet a sinner who's arrogant and wrong and obviously unsaved, you know, don't be bitter against them. Look what they're facing. That is a reality. It is not a myth. There is a hell. They are headed to hell. They may not believe in hell, but one day they'll wake up in hell. The reality of hell. There is a heaven, there's a hell, there's a devil, there's demons, there's angels, there's a God who has provided a way of escape. Listen, if you're here today and you have not accepted God's provided way of escape, don't wait. One more moment. You need to accept the pardon that He's given us. Don't take that chance with your soul. We say, well, I'm a young person. I have plenty of years. We could go out. How many car accidents do we see every day? How in a moment somebody's heart could give out. Amen. We're not guaranteed one more breath. We need to embrace the pardon today.
Amen.
God help us to see.
Amen.
I'm so glad there's a way of escape.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I look back and I remember He touched me, He changed me, and I didn't deserve that. I wasn't looking for Him. I wasn't desiring Him, and He came by the grace of God. And He opened my eyes, and I pleaded for mercy, and I saw my lost condition. All are sinners and fall short of the glory of God. We're all guilty. May the gospel never, never, never be common to you. It is the most beautiful, wonderful thing that we have heard is God's provided way of escape.
Amen.
Let me just read some scripture to you, just some verses here and there. James 1:21 says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness, the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." The Word of God is precious. The salvation plan is real. Which is able to save your souls. Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth."
Amen.
To the Jew first and also to the Greek. It's the power of God. What is the gospel, the good news, being able to embrace the good news?
Amen.
Our attitude towards the Word of God will determine our eternal destination.
Amen. Hallelujah.
1 Corinthians 1:17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness."
Amen.
See, what we're talking about today is foolish to some people. Even the people around the message. They're so far beyond in their delusion, they look down on the cross. They're in trouble. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God."
Amen.
The cross. The cross. That's our home. That's our safety net. That's our hiding place. 1 Corinthians 15:1. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." Keep in memory what he preached unto us. Keep in memory that gospel. Keep Calvary before your face.
Amen.
And then 2 Corinthians 4:3 says, but if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. That's the sad part. See, and we all, I know we're all in this world. We all rub shoulders with people of the world. We know people that the gospel's hid to them. It's not attractive to them. They're attracted by the things of the world. They're attracted by the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the ambitions of life. That doesn't attract us. The Spirit wars against the flesh. If they don't have the Spirit, they have no battle. They're overtaken by this world. But if our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. God help us. Many reject and refuse to accept God's provided way.
Amen.
One day they'll see the truth and they'll regret that they turned from it. You know, I realize this is a heavy message and it's been heavy on me. And I can't stop thinking about it. But it's actually changed me.
Amen.
It's changed me because as we look at people in this life that give all the appearance of being lost, I have a different attitude. I don't want them to be lost.
Amen.
I'm looking for an opportunity. I'll talk about what they want to talk about to win their confidence. But in my heart, I want to share the gospel. I want to share God's provided way. I want to let them know what God has done for me. 1 Timothy 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Aren't you glad of that?
Amen.
That's the kind of spirit God gives a Christian. Power and love and a sound mind. Not fear. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath, now listen, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel.
Hallelujah.
Life and immortality through the gospel. Praise the Lord. The good news. I'm so glad I heard the good news. I'm so glad that one day that good news quickened inside of me. And I believed. You know, I always believed that Jesus died on that cross. I always believed that. But one day, it became a reality for me. One day, that story mattered to me. Changed my life forever. The truth of the story became clear. He took not just the place of everybody. He took my place. He took my place. The gospel saves. And if the gospel saves, there had to be something to save, be saved from. See, we talk about being saved, but do we realize that this is not just a fairy tale. This is not just a myth. There is a hell that we are saved from. We were headed to hell. We were damned. We were condemned. But then he came to us. Praise God. Again, I want you to take time alone. Sometime today, whenever, pray. And I want you to pray about, Lord, do I really believe there's a hell? Because I know you can say you believe it, but do you really believe it? Do you really believe people that you know that have rejected Christ are going to be in hell when they pass from this life? See, because I somehow inside of me, I feel like if we really believe it, it's going to change us a little bit or a lot, where we're not going to be as accepting of their condition.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying we can force anybody. We know we can't do that. But our attitude will be different. I have so much family and friends and people I love and that seem to have not embraced the cross. Amen. I'm not going to say they're not saved. That's not for me to say. But when someone gives all this appearance of being lost, you know, you start to really wonder if they're saved. I'm talking about even Christian people. Come to church. They seem to have a positive attitude about God, but their life doesn't testify that they've really been saved. It worries me. It worries me. Oh, Lord, help us.
Amen.
I want you to listen to something Jesus said. Now, we believe all the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
And I believe the words in the Bible are not a myth. And I want you to listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 10:28. Fear not them which kill the body. We tend to fear things in this life that could kill you in your body, right? But he says, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell.
Amen.
The words of Jesus.
Amen.
Is he kidding us? I don't believe that. Do you realize there's many, many Christian people that don't believe in hell anymore? Maybe they're being taught something different. I think we have to stay with the Word. And the Word of God clearly declares there is a place that people will go. You know, Brother Branham had a vision beyond the curtain of time, and he went to that beautiful place. And I don't believe Brother Branham was lying. I know some people today speaking against Brother Branham, but, you know, in my spirit, there's no way. I do not believe he's lying. And so Brother Branham went beyond the curtain of time. He was lifted up into a dimension. He looked back at his body, and he was in this slanted place. He looked, and all these millions of people were running to him, our precious brother, our precious brother. He was in a different place. And Jesus was higher. He said, I want to see Jesus. He's higher. There's dimensions. There's levels. And we know there's levels in hell, too. The Bible testifies of that. Now, so Brother Branham had this opportunity. He didn't really want to call it a vision because it was like a translation, but he didn't want to say that because he would stumble people. But he often talked about being translated and seeing this. And what he said, words can't describe what it was. Perfect love doesn't describe it. He says, but without perfect love, we're not going to get there. He said, whatever you do, lay aside everything else, get perfect love. And you got to have perfect forgiveness to have perfect love. But he also had another experience. When he was a young man, he was shot. If you follow Brother Branham's ministry, he was shot and he was in an unsaved condition. He had not accepted Christ. And in that horrible condition, when he was near death, he went into another dimension. Whether it was a vision or what, I don't know. But I want to share some of the things he said, how horrible it was. This was in a sermon called Souls in Prison Now, which that's a whole other topic, but Souls in Prison Now. After the vision struck me, I was so weak, I had lost all the blood, and I thought I was sinking into an endless eternity. Many of you heard me tell this before, was sinking into an endless eternity. First, I was going through like clouds, and then through darkness, and sinking down, down, down. And the first thing you know, I got into the regions of the lost. And in there, I screamed. Can you imagine? And I looked, and there, just everything. There was no foundation to it. I could never stop falling. It for eternity, it looked like I was going to fall. There was no stopping, nowhere. And as I was falling, I screamed for my daddy. Of course, being a kid, I screamed for my dad. He wasn't there. I screamed for my mother. Somebody catch me. There was nobody there. I was just going, and I screamed then to God. There was no God there. There was nothing there. What a horrible place. And after a while, I heard the most mournful sound I could ever heard. It was the awfulest feeling. There was no way even a literal burning fire would be a pleasure to the sight of what that was. And now those visions have never been wrong. And it was just one of the most horrible feelings I ever had. And I heard a noise. It sounded like a haunted affair. I looked coming as it was. Women, and they had green stuff on their face and under their eyes. And their eyes looked like run black, like women today paint their eyes. Run back, and this is their eyes and their face. They were going, ooh, 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 oh my. I just screamed out, oh God, have mercy on me. Have mercy, oh God, where are you? If you only let me go back and live, I promise to you I'll be a good boy. And when I got shot, I had told lies. I had pretty near done everything there was to be done. The only thing I could say, when I looked and I seen it blowed out in two almost, I said, God, have mercy on me. You know, I never did commit adultery. That was the only thing I could say to God. I had never accepted his pardon and all these things. The only thing I could say is I never did commit adultery. And then they taken me out there, and in there I cried, God, be merciful. I'll be a good boy if you only let me go back, for I knew there was a God somewhere. And so help me, those weary creatures all around, I had just been a new arrival. A new arrival. And the most hideous, horrible, ungodly feeling. Then in a moment's time, I came back to natural life again. That thing bothered me. I thought, oh, let it be that I never go to that place. No other human being would ever have to go to that place. 7 months later, I had the vision standing in the west, seeing the gold cross and coming down upon me. And I knew that there was a region of the damned somewhere. I believe God let him taste of both sides. As a prophet, as a witness to us, to share with us. Think of it. In 1 Peter chapter 3, let me just share this scripture with you. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. 1 Peter 3:19. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Now notice what the scripture's saying. In the spirit, Jesus went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. So the Bible declares that Jesus went in the spirit to the souls that were in prison that had rejected Noah's message. Now, we're not talking about a happy service. Can you imagine Jesus going down to the souls that had lost their opportunity and he's preaching to them? They were in prison and they had no hope of being saved. How horrible is that? How horrible. Souls in prison. Brother preached a sermon. Souls in prison now. Christ preached to them. You know, I believe there's others waiting judgment too. Not just the souls in Noah's day, but all the days. People that reject God's provided way. Filled with regret. Can we imagine the horrible regret they feel waiting in a horrible place, suffering in that horrible place? They rejected their chance. They heard the preaching, but they turned away. How many in this day heard the gospel and have rejected it? They turned away. The horror of it makes me think about how they would think they wasted their life. They wasted their opportunity. And now they're left with this horrible, horrible feeling. You know, if you are wrong today and you feel one scratch of conviction, you need to run to Jesus. Amen. You don't have to have everything figured out. You don't have to understand it all. But if you feel any conviction in your heart, run to Calvary. Embrace God's provided way of escape. Amen. Say, forgive me, Lord. I've been wrong. Save me, Lord. I want to be saved. I don't want to go to that place. I want to be saved. I want my family to be saved. I want my loved ones to be saved. I want everybody that I know to be saved. I can't do that, but that's what I want. Help us, Lord. Ephesians 4:7 says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things." See, I do believe Jesus literally went to the souls in prison. Amen. The spirits in prison, and he preached unto them. As a witness, he was a witness that they had rejected their time. Oh God. You know, the happy time to preach is when people can be saved. The great time is when people are here and they're listening to the gospel and they have an opportunity to say, "Yes, I believe. Yes, I want to be saved. Yes, I want to give my life to God. I believe there is a God, and I believe his name is Jesus.
Amen.
And I believe he has given us a provided way of escape, and I accept it. I embrace it. I want it. Wash me in the blood. Cleanse me from my sin. Save me from hell. Save me from myself." You know, he came to save sinners. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to give it over to him. He wants us to experience salvation. Thank you, Lord. Praise. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for his mercy. But those in prison, they lost that opportunity. They're lost. They're going to be judged. We're all going to be judged, but they're filled with the torment that they lost their opportunity. You know, there was a testimony that I believe is true, and we shared it years ago, of a man, Bill Wise, who was a Christian man who had experienced hell, I believe, with all my heart, he's telling the truth. And recently I saw his testimony again. It's online. If you type in 23 minutes in hell, if you have access to the internet, the testimony I saw was a newer testimony than what we had seen years ago, because this man just, he spends his life just telling people that there is a hell. He had an experience there. And, you know, the things he said, you know, I remember it, but I didn't remember all the details. And so we are going to share this again. If you have internet, you go out and find it. And why, it's about an hour. It's well worth an hour of your life to see this again. Even if you've seen it already, see it again. And his wife testified that he was a conservative man. He was not prone to any, he was very steady and solid all his life. He was a Christian believer. And I believe God chose him because he was that kind of person. So you can say he's making it up, but I don't believe he made it up. And they got 23 minutes because he woke up around 3 a.m. And when she heard him scream on the living room floor, she looked over the clock and it was 3:23. And that's how they got 23 minutes in hell. And he had this experience that he was afraid to talk about for a while. And now he spends his whole life talking about it. And he talked about different levels of torment. I want you to know that's scriptural. The Bible says, Jesus said something about a greater damnation. A greater damnation. Levels. There's pits in hell. I know we don't like to think about it, but this is the Word of God. This is scriptural. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Amen. We talk mainly, and I thought about it, mainly I focus on the positive side. I don't like to focus on the negative side, but the negative side is part of the gospel, that there is a hell. Amen. And so he talked about how that there is no comfortable place in hell. There was no water there. Remember the rich, Jesus told that about the rich man and Lazarus, and he's in hell, and he says, just to put your finger and water on my lips. See, there's no water. He was so thirsty. He said even to breathe, it was just like he couldn't breathe because it was so dry. And then he said that the sulfur, the smells were the most putrid, horrible smells. You know, Jesus said, "Thou foul spirit, foul spirit." It's foul. The demons are foul. And he said that he was fighting, just gasping for breath. And I just think about, there was no rest. You can't sleep. You want to sleep, but you can't sleep. You want to eat, but you're hungry, but you can't eat. You're thirsty and you can't drink. He said the fear level was beyond anything he'd ever experienced. And now this Bill Wise told an experience in life, and I didn't remember if I heard it before, but he was surfing one time in life, and he was with a bunch of people, and all of a sudden a pool of sharks came around them. And he said, this tiger shark, which is a very mean shark, came up, and it was longer than a surfboard in the water. And he saw it right next to him, and it came back, and it bit his surfboard in half. And he was in the water with somebody else, and they said, "I guess we're going to die." And a shark grabbed his leg and pulled him down. And he says, now, can you imagine the fear? He said, that fear was nothing compared to the terror that he felt when he was down there in hell. Can you imagine? He said, miraculously, that shark let him go, which he didn't even have a scar. That was just a miracle for him. So he survived that. But think about the terror. He said, you're lost, you're alone, you're just wasting away, a hopelessness, forgotten, confusion is everywhere. Individual pits, big pits in hell. You know, when I think about it, I just think, I don't want anybody to go there. Not only do we not want to go there ourselves, we don't want anybody to go there. Amen. We are going to share his testimony with everyone. We are going to make copies of his testimony again. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to give them to as many people as will accept it. Amen. You know, I don't believe everybody needs to understand everything about the seven seals to be saved. But I need you to, you need to accept that pardon. Amen. You need to accept that he took your place.
Amen.
You need to accept that there is something to be saved from. I'm so glad I could say I'm saved today. If you can say with all your heart, I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm saved by that sacrifice. And you have faith in your heart and you know it. What a wonderful thing that is. We should walk through this life in appreciation. You know, he talked about this, that, you know, people say, but I'm a Christian, Bill was his name. I'm saved. Why do I need this? And he gave three good reasons, I thought. He said, one, it makes you appreciate your salvation.
Amen.
See, it makes you appreciate. Also, I think he was dead on right. In the world we live in, people don't have a fear of God.
Amen.
And that leads to loose living. It leads to playing with sin that we should shun. We should shun that with all of our hearts. And then three, it makes us a better witness when we realize there's a hell, that people are headed to hell. Because you know why? You just can't stand by and say nothing. He talked about statistics that he said, Spurgeon said, 90% of your real witness is the life you live. And I agree with that.
Amen.
But 10% is speaking to people. But he said 90% of Christians don't testify about their salvation. Keep it to yourself. But when you believe there's a hell, and you're around people that look like they're headed there, how can we stay silent? How can we not share with them? I'm not saying beat people over the head with the Bible. I'm not saying scare people. I'm saying in love, engage people.
Amen.
What do you think is going to happen after this life? I don't know. Maybe nothing. Here, listen. I really believe this testimony. This man, I believe with all my heart, when you watch this DVD, it's an hour long, you watch this, you're going to see this man is very sincere. Just watch it. I think that would be a wonderful thing to do. Can we do that? Can we be a better witness? I want to be a better witness. I don't want to waste my time here. Now, let me give you a scripture in finishing here today. Let's all stand. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I appreciate your paying attention today and really considering this topic. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's just turn to that and we're going to close. Oh, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. You see, it's love that constrains us. It's believing the truth that constrains us. It's realizing there is a reality of hell and there is a salvation. It constrains us not to keep it all to ourselves, not to be angry at a sinner who's lost, but to have compassion. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, I feel just inadequate, Lord. I feel unworthy and unable to convey, Lord, what's on my heart. But Lord, your Spirit is able to quicken. Your Spirit is able to convey the thoughts and message directly to each and every individual that hears my voice, Lord. Lord, there is a hell. There is a place of regions of the lost. Lord, I thank you for the gospel. I thank you for so great a salvation that you saved us from that place. You went there so we would not have to go. You suffered so we would not have to suffer that. Lord, the torment of regret that they must feel. Lord, help us that on with the days and moments we have left in this life, that we'll, who are Christians, we'll look for an opportunity to share the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. Lord, you're wonderful to us. We love you, Lord Jesus. And your Spirit is beautiful to us, Lord. We can't imagine living without you, even in this life. But Lord, to think beyond, Lord, it's just too hard to think about, Lord. Lord, you laid it on my heart today to look at it. And oh God, maybe it's not a shouting kind of thought today, Lord, but may it change us, oh God. May the reality of heaven and the reality of hell and the truth about your blood and your sacrifice penetrate us, oh God. May we not leave here like we came. May we be more compassionate and willing to share the good news, to love those that are unlovable.
Amen.
That don't want love.
Help us, Lord. Help us. Help me, Lord.
Oh God, forgive us where we failed you, Lord. Forgive us where we've been selfish. Oh God, you've been so good to us. Save our loved ones, oh God. Save all those that we encounter, Lord. Give us wisdom. Give us your Spirit, your love, your grace and mercy and truth. Lord, we don't know what to say. We don't know what to do. But Lord, we're willing to take the risk of being rejected so that someone could accept the gospel. Oh Lord, not as law, but love constrains us not to live to ourselves anymore. thank you for the opportunity. I thank you, Lord, that we still have breath within us. I thank you, Lord, that there's a desire in me, Lord. I want to talk to a lost soul. I want to talk to someone who needs you. Help me, Lord, to do it. And may it come not just in letter, but in spirit and in truth. And may you come on that scene when we're willing to take the step. And may your spirit come. May your love be felt, and may there be an atmosphere that touches a lost soul. Oh God, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus. Save us, Lord. Thank you for your mercy.
Hallelujah.
Worthy are you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Worthy is the Lamb that was slain.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you for so great a salvation, Lord. Thank you for Calvary and the blood that was shed. Thank you for the suffering on that cross. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Glory and honor and power be unto you, O God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We'll give the glory to Jesus, and we'll tell of his love. We'll tell of his love. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. We'll give the glory to Jesus. We'll give all the glory to Jesus.